Matthew chapter 13, if you will. There has been an issue that I have been concerned about for some time, and I must admit that I've been looking for an opportunity to address it. And so I'm going to take that opportunity tonight. Amen. And so I believe that it'll bring some light into an issue. And actually, the main issue that I want to get to is going to be toward the end of this message tonight. But I need to lay a little groundwork in order for me to get there. You know, as explainers, it just takes you a little time to lay the platform in order to get to the issue you want to get to. Sometimes it takes me a little longer to get to the issue that I need to get to. And so I'm going to try to avoid that temptation tonight. And not milk my introduction to the nth degree that I lose my time at the end of my message. And if you understood all that, you're doing much better than I am. I found this to be true, that unfamiliar things are understood when likened unto familiar things. Say that again. Unfamiliar things are understood when likened unto familiar things. Because we understand the characteristics of the familiar, listen to me now very carefully, we become educated as to how the unfamiliar functions. Let me say that again. Because we understand the characteristics of the familiar, how the familiar functions and operates, then we become educated as to how the unfamiliar functions. Jesus used this issue of things that were familiar to help us to understand a thing that was unfamiliar to us in Matthew chapter 13 specifically. Matthew 13 verse 24. Jesus said, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed into the field. He was trying to help them to understand how the kingdom of heaven functions. And so because of the difficulty in that particular subject, he pops it down, if you will, into an arena where people do understand how a man sows good ground into a field and how all that kind of plays out and how all that functions. Verse 31, and another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed. They understood all that. Therefore, it gained wisdom, it gained understanding as to how the kingdom operated. Verse 33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven, which a woman took and hid three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Verse 44, and again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field. Verse 45, and again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Verse 47, and again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net. Very clear that he used things that were familiar to help expose and bring to light things that were unfamiliar. This is the reason why that we must understand as believers that the Word of God and how it functions is unfamiliar to humanity as a whole. They do not come into the kingdom of God as a new convert understanding how the Word functions. It's very foreign to them. And so because of that, the Spirit of God understood that. And so therefore, you can see that there was a need for the Word of God to be likened unto meat. It was likened unto water. The Word of God was likened unto bread. The Word of God is likened unto a mirror. The Word of God, here again, all of these things, we understand how these things function. Each one of those likens gives us some understanding as to how the Word will function within our life. It will function much like meat will. It will function much like bread will, much like a mirror does, much like light does. And we could go on and on. But more than anything else, the one thing that the Word of God has been likened unto throughout the Word of God is that of a seed. The Word of God has been likened unto a seed. I want you to go with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 8. And while you're turning to Luke chapter 8, I'm going to go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says these words, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is likened unto an incorruptible seed. It's likened unto good seed. Then the reference in Luke chapter 8, in Luke 8 verse 11, Jesus used this seed to help us to understand how the word functions. Very plainly, he says these words in Luke 8 and verse 11. Now the parable is this, underline it, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. And so it's very clear here that the word of God is going to function much like an organical thing rather than a mechanical thing. It's going to function like an organic entity, tool, vessel, if you will, than it will a mechanical thing. And so this seed issue, and so the characteristics of the seed educates us about the characteristics of the word. Can I put it to you like this? The characteristics of the familiar educates us about the characteristics of the unfamiliar. We're very educated about how a seed functions. Now, you know as well as I do that when you start talking about a seed, you have to understand this, that a seed is simply just a little container. We've talked about this in the past. It's a little suitcase. A little suitcase that contains life and power. Every one of God's promises in the Word, every one of His instructions within the Word of God is a suitcase. It's a little container of life and power. It's a container of a power that this world by itself cannot produce. This is the Word of God. And this word is bringing power from heaven into our world through His word. It's done with it's likened into a seed. You know, therefore, and we've talked about this in the past, that every one of God's instructions is filled with life and power. Every one of God's promises is filled with life and power. There is not an instruction in God's word that will bring a negative result in your life. There's not a single solitary promise that will bring a negative result in your life. Every one of His promises, every one of His instructions is filled with a godly power, with a godly life, with a blessing life, with a beneficial thing, and not a negative thing. Can I have an amen? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, a very familiar passage to most of us. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says these words. Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Listen to the New King James Version. For the word of God is living and powerful. The Arthur S. Way translation says this, for the word of God is full of life and power. The Living Bible says this, for whatever God says to us is full of life and power. Once again, it's incorruptible seed. It's a good seed all the way around from the beginning to the end. James chapter 1, it's a very interesting verse along these lines. James 1, verse 21. James chapter 1, in verse 21. James says this to the church. He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Listen to the American Standard Version. And in a humble, love this version, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your hearts. Here it is. Contains the power to save your souls. What does the word contain? The power to save our souls. It is full of life and power. I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to spend much time on this particular thought. This thought came to me as I prepared late this evening. Most are confused as to where the power of God resides today. We in many of our circles have elevated ministry gifts as the source of God's power over the Word of God. And that is a mistake. We must never elevate any ministry gift over the Word of God. Because ministry gifts can only be in one place at one time. But the Word of God can be sitting in your lap at 3 o'clock in the morning in your bedroom. The Word of God can be sitting in your lap at 4 o'clock in the afternoon at your desk. The Word of God. We must never become confused as to where the power resides. It resides within the Word of God. Just like it resides in Jesus, you know, the Bible says it very plainly that Jesus, the Word, became flesh and walked among us. So it's very clear here that this Word is a source of God's power that I think too many of us are just not recognizing the potential and the potency of what we're holding within our laps. It contains the power to save ourselves. It contains the power to turn our marriages. Or it contains the power to change your body into a healthy body. It contains the power to bring peace into your life once again. It contains the power to bring, if you will, peace within a relationship that you may be struggling with right now. Now, you understand this as well as I do, that in order to function as a seed, it has to be planted and it has to be watered. And the only way to obtain a releasement of the power that's within a seed is to plant it and watering. Can I put it to you like this? What planting and watering is to the seed, obedience is to the Word of God. Anytime that you obey the Word in every area of your life, no matter what area it may be, anytime you obey the Word of God, you are releasing power, God's power, in that arena. Every time. In fact, this thought came to me, and I really kind of hesitate to even say this, but power is released through obedience quicker than power is released through confession. And I'm gonna put just a little addendum to that so you don't freak out on me. Our confession should be in harmony with our obedience, not in spite of its absence. You know, the thing about it is you can go ahead and confess all day long about your job, but if you're disobeying the Word of God, your disobedience concerning the Word of God on your job is actually imprisoned the power of God to work on your behalf, no matter how much confession you make. Such it is with our marriages also. No matter how much you confess over your marriage and no matter how much you speak the Word of God out of it, if you're not acting upon the Word of God and obeying the Word of God's instructions as a husband toward his wife or as a wife toward her husband, then you are bridling the Word of God's power to be able to work effectively in that arena. All right, don't like that. You remember there's so many stories, and we won't talk about it because it's really not the point that I want to make. But you know, in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, Jesus, you know, petitioned Peter to go ahead and ask for the use of his boat. So they launched out just a little bit, and Jesus preached a little bit about, you know. And after he got done, Jesus turned around to Peter and said, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a haul." Well, you know the story, how that Peter pretty well at first kind of balked at that. You know, we toiled all night long. We've taken nothing. You know, are you sure? You know, we've done this. There's nothing being caught right now. But then Peter said one word, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down my nets." And so he went ahead and launched out, you know, and got out there and threw his nets out there. And I don't know why, but for some reason, this afternoon, it suddenly dawned on me that I just had it in my mind that the instant that he threw his nets out, the nets were full. I don't know why. I don't know why. I've never thought about this. But do you know that when you throw nets out, they're not instantly full? So that means then that Jesus and Peter were sitting out in that boat for a while, bouncing up and down in those waves. Come on, guys. Come on, think with me. Come on. But his obedience released a power in that water that began to draw fish from all over that area into that net. We've talked about this in the past. Those little fishies, Some of them wanted to swim the other way, and now they're being drawn by a power. They don't understand why they're going backwards. All of a sudden, they're looking to one another. You know, and we've talked about that in the past. Come on. But that happened because of a man's obedience to an instruction that released the power within the instructions. Come on, guys. It was a godly power that was released that day. God's power released in that pool of water, however big that thing was. And it drew that. The instant that you obey the word of God in any area of your life, you have released a power that works invisibly in the unseen realm and works powerfully on your behalf to benefit you anytime you act on God's word. Now, with all of that said, and I'm doing really good with time, employees, are you aware that you're releasing power within your place of employment when you obey passages like Colossians chapter 3? Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. Are you aware that you're actually releasing a godly power in your place of employment when you obey these verses found in Colossians chapter 3? And I want to begin reading with verse 22. In every arena of our lives, where we want God's power, where we need God's power, we need to get in the Word of God and find out the instructions that God has given to us in that area, for there is found the power of God for that area. If you are ignorant of His instructions, His power is absent from your life. Listen to what he says here to the servants or employees. In verse 22 of Colossians chapter 3, he says, employees, obey in all things your employers according to the flesh. I mean, you know, there's just some employers we work for that we don't want to do that because they might not deserve it or they might not have merited it. But he tells us to obey in all things your masters, your employers, according to the flesh. Listen to what he says here. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. How many of you know we are to work on our jobs the same, whether their eyes are upon us or whether they are not looking at us? And when you do that, you're actually releasing a power that'll work on your behalf. Come on, guys. In the unseen realm. And we need to be consciously aware that power has been released because of our obedience. Because this thought came to me, and I'm kind of getting toward where I need to be here. So then this thought came to me. So then why are we talking about our jobs like God's power is nowhere near our jobs? If we're operating on God's word, we're releasing God's power in that business. Now listen to this. When we obey, we release God's power that will work on our behalf in our workplace. But listen to this. But obeying these verses not only will benefit us personally, but how many of you know it'll also benefit the place that you are employed by? It'll also benefit your business. And how much of a greater business will be created when you've got employees acting on the word of God throughout that entire business? What kind of a power is being released to succeed in the marketplace in that business, because it's full of a team of Christians that are obeying the word of God? But what happens to the business that doesn't have a Christian that's acting on the word of God in that place? Are we not actually being a partner toward its failure? Are we not actually, in essence, kind of working for its demise? When we act on God's word, we are releasing a power within that business for it to succeed. And we need to be talking about like it. And we need to be thinking about it. And we need to be active. Because if you're consciously aware of the fact that you're releasing a power through your godly obedience to his instructions, if you're consciously aware of that, how many of you know that's going to change the way you talk about your employer? That's going to change the time you clock in. That's going to change the attitudes that you work with while you're on task. No, the thing about it is simply this. We must understand that there is a power, and we must be consciously aware of that on a daily basis, because it will change everything that we think, how we act, how we talk. It changes it all. Why? Because there's a power that's being released by my presence in this building. Because I'm obeying the word of God. I'm working as unto the Lord and not as unto men. Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. There's a consciousness that should be within each and every one of us, that I'm allowing God's power to work in this place. God's going to honor me, but this place is going to be blessed by me being here. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. I need to be real careful here about my time. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Ephesians 6 and verse 5. Employees, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, with in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of God, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing that any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. There's so many individuals today that think that their confession is going to get the blessings of obedience. That I don't have to obey these verses. I don't have to go in here with a guard on how I act toward my employer. I'm just going to confess my way through prosperity, confess my way into a promotion, and confess my way into favor with my employer. But the easiest route is releasing God's power through his instructions, through your obedience. Can I have an amen? 1 Peter chapter 2, one of my favorite verses, and we've talked about much about this verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, he says, employees, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the poor. We've talked about this whole a lot. That we are to work the same no matter what type of person we're working for. But here again, so then why are we talking about our jobs like God's power is nowhere near our jobs? We're obeying the word of God. We need to be conscious of the fact that God's power is released within that job, and it's working invisibly and behind the scenes, if you will. Wives, are you aware that you're releasing power within your marriage when you obey 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1? When you embrace 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word. How many of you know if a husband is not obeying the word of God, there's no power being released through his life into that marriage? In fact, he's actually deteriorating that marriage, bringing it down, if you will. The demise of that marriage is being brought by his lack of obedience, because he's bringing in, and if it can put a dark power into the marriage rather than a godly power within the marriage. And how many of you know if you got an ungodly power being introduced by an individual, then we need to make sure that we as wives, that we're not being an ungodly, because how many of you know an ungodly source of, and an ungodly source is not going to create a heavenly marriage. Amen. Heaven on earth marriage. When you obey this verse and you be in subjection to your own husbands and you try by your behavior, verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that. In other words, you show them through your life that a life with God is a whole lot better than a life without God. And when you're doing that, you're not talking. You're not begging them to come back to God. You're not trying to nag them back to God. You're drawing them with your power of obedience to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Come on, guys. And that power just draws them like a little guppy, like a little bass, like a little crappie, like a little catfish that was drawn into Peter's nets when Jesus said, let down your nets for a haul. You'll find your husband swimming the backwards and kind of wondering, what in the world's going on here? How come? I always said I'd never come to this church, but now I'm sitting in here. Why am I sitting in this church? So then my point is this then. So then why are we as wives talking about our marriage like God's power is nowhere near our marriage when we are releasing God's power into our marriage through our obedience to God's word? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33 talks about the wives are to respect their husbands. And how many of you know that is not as the world thinks that respect is an earned commodity? Respect is not an earned commodity. It is a commanded commodity. And it's to be as unconditional as love is to the man.
Yes.
There's a lot to be said about that. But here again, if you know you're obeying the word of God, then don't allow yourself to be talking like the power of God is not active in your marriage anymore. I wonder what I can. No, if you're acting on God's word. Tony kind of said this to me and really kind of solidified this direction, to be honest with you about it. Americans, are you aware of the fact that you're releasing power within our country when you obey 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, about praying for our nation? There's a power released. And I think we can all admit that a lot of us have been guilty of not doing 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, because it just wasn't our president. That's got to stop. Because obedience to God's word does not require our guy being in the house. Do I need to get plainer with that? Once we have released God's power in an area, our continual consciousness of its presence is vital. I'm getting where I need to be. I'm going to say that again. Once we have released God's power through our obedience in an area, our continual consciousness of its presence is vital. I'm reminded of a scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul talked to Timothy about a gift that was imparted to him through the laying on of hands. And Paul told Timothy these words in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, neglect not the gift that is within thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands. Neglect not the gift that was within thee, which is given thee by prophecy, but you meditate upon these things. In other words, you think about it and you give yourself wholly to it. After this gift that he received through the laying on of hands, Timothy's consciousness of this gift would help him to manage this gift and nurture this gift and given its proper place in Timothy's life so that he would not neglect it. Because look at what happens here. Meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear unto all. That is a huge statement. That thy profiting may appear unto all. Listen, guys, many of us have been given some scriptures about how to conduct ourselves on the job. And we're trying to obey those scriptures. And a continual consciousness of the power that's released through that scripture. If we maintain that awareness, if we maintain that consciousness of that power that's been released, that power will eventually appear unto all. Your management of the power released determines whether it is going to be, if you will, remains dormant within your life, or if it appears unto all. We must avoid at all costs thinking like we are still in want of God's power. We must avoid at all costs talking like we are still in want, that we are still in the need for God's power. We must avoid at all costs acting like we are still in want. We are still in need of God's power. And I said all that to say this. As I deal with 27,000 alumni throughout this world, and as I deal with RMAI members throughout this world, it seems to me that many are exhibiting their want, their need of God's healing power for physical challenges within their bodies. As I talk to the physically challenged, I am looking for one thing. Are you showing evidence that a healing power has been administered to your body? And are you showing evidence that it is working mightily within your body now? In Mark, he gives us instructions that we are to lay hands upon the sick. Those are instructions. That instruction, when obeyed by anyone, releases God's healing power into that infirm person's life. And it doesn't take a song to get the power present. It doesn't take a dance to get the power present. All it takes is the knowledge of the verse and the obedience of the verse. And when you lay hands upon that sick child at 3 o'clock in the morning, the healing power of God is administered to that little child's body and begins to work in order to heal and to cure that little child of whatever disease that child's. But yet, it seems as though so many are exhibiting that they're not even conscious that that's occurred. They're still looking for their miracle. How come God won't give me my manifestation? How come? They're waiting on God. Some of them getting really ticked off at God because it's just taking a really long time. Once the healing power of God has been administered, the recipient now has the responsibility of managing that healing power. Okay, don't like that. Brother Hagin would say these words over and over and over again as he would minister to the sick. The moment I lay my hands upon you, the healing power of God will be administered to your body, but what you do with it after that is up to you. This whole issue of what you do with it after that is up to you determines how that power manifests itself through you and in you. The healing power in and of itself must be managed with a consciousness that it has been administered. And so therefore, with that consciousness, there is no more talk. There's no more thoughts that it's nowhere to be found in my situation. That I'm still waiting for God to go ahead and do something in my life. All of those fears are erased because why? The moment he laid hands upon me, the healing power of God was administered to my body. And it's in there working mightily. To put it like Jesus put it, they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. The recovery process has begun. I'm recovering. There should be more of a smile on our face. There should be more of a peace in our... There should be more of a... But instead, I'm still seeing and hearing a lot of I'm troubled by it. because of our lack of understanding in this particular area. A whole lot of us are having to lean on the ministry gifts that are specially anointed by the Spirit of God to get our healing to us. Through maybe a working of miracles or gifts of healings or a gift of faith. But I'm going to be as bold as I can be about this statement. When it comes to the church, the primary way to receive healing is going to be through faith. Through the Word of God. Thank God for the ministry gifts. I personally think that ministry gifts really ought to be functioning more in the world than they ought to be in the church. Thank God that they function in the church. But when you pigeonhole it just to the church and not to the world, it's our bad. This issue, when you lay hands on me, the healing power of God will be administered to my body, whether I feel like it or not. Why? Obedience releases the power. Once again, it changes. Brother Hagin, Nanuet, New York, August the 10th, 1992. You remember in Mark, the 16th chapter, the 18th verse, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Now notice he did not say they might get well. He said they shall recover. I believe that many miss it in that they're always looking for the instantaneous deliverance. And that happens sometimes, particularly that happens when the gifts of the Spirit are in manifestation. But when it comes to faith, and when it comes to healing, Jesus said, they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. I believe that the recovery begins the moment hands are laid on. But you see, if you turn faith off, if you don't keep the switch of faith on, why then you see the healing stops. Are you listening to me? They'll lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah, he says. No matter who lays hands upon you, because he says these signs shall follow them that believe. Any believer lays hands upon you, the recovery begins right then. Hallelujah, he says. Now, it may be manifested right away, and it may not be manifested right away, but keep the switch of faith turned on. Listen to this now. I never thought of that phrase. It sprung up in my spirit. My wife and I were holding a meeting several years ago in a Baptist church. And there had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and gone charismatic, and several hundred of them had received this experience. And while we were there just 8 days, another 150 were baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. But we laid hands on the sick each night also for healing. And so I remember one particular night, we were laying hands on folks, and there was a lady. Now he talks about a blind woman. They found out later on, she was instantly healed. They found out later on that this woman had been blind for 3 years. That she could see, but she couldn't tell whether or not it was a cow or a horse or, you know, she just couldn't, you know, determine, and she was completely healed. But he said there was another young couple in that same service, and they brought their only child, a little boy. Both feet were clubbed feet. Both feet were deformed. Well, I held those little feet in my hands, and I ministered God's healing power to them, and I opened my eyes, and I looked at those little feet, and they're just as crippled as they were to begin with. So I said to them, if it'll help you any at all, I'll tell you this. I have a stronger anointing right now than I did with the blind woman that was healed out front there a while ago. And I'm just going to hold these little feet in my hands for a few moments. And I held them and I opened my hands and looked at the little feet, and they're just as crippled, just as deformed as they ever were. And I said to them, if it'll help you any at all, I've got a stronger anointing than I did with the blind woman. And I felt that power go out of my hands and to that child's feet. And so, listen to this now very carefully. And so, I never thought of it. It just came up out of my spirit. I said to them, keep the switch of faith turned on. This was the first time he ever used that phrase. And in the first time he ever used that phrase, he tells us what the switch of faith is. It is not believing. I believe. It is not believing. It is believing two things. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Every time you think of it, say, the healing power of God has been ministered to these feet and is working in them right now. What is the switch of faith? It is the belief that the power has been administered and working mightily. And I don't hear that in a lot of people's lives. I still see a lot of people still searching. But I don't hear, Brother Doug, that power's in me, and it's working mightily within me. They always talk about, I'm healed, Brother Doug, I'm healed. How many of you know, guys, provision is one thing. Embracing what he has provided is another thing. We must become conscious of the fact that God's power has been released through our obedience. But listen, if it's not happening on the job, it's probably not going to happen with our bodies. If it's not happening in our marriages, it's probably not going to be happening. And when it comes to cancer, when I obey the word of God, it releases the power. Tony gave it, I wish we had another microphone, I'd have him come up and share, but he shared about the fact that this one individual he was listening to talked about the fact that when you pray for our leaders, how did that guy put it? You
fix the atmosphere from which they draw ideas.
It affects the atmosphere
from which they draw ideas.
I like that. You're not just saying things when you pray. There's a releasement of God's power into that situation. But are we talking like it after it's been released? Are we thinking like it after it's been released? Are we acting like it after it's been released? What are we doing? Where are we at? Man, if I got up here and Friday night when Brother Craig prayed for the sick, glory to God, power of God's working in me. How are you feeling? To be honest with you, from the natural standpoint, not doing too good today, but the healing power of God's in my body and it's working mightily. But that's such a rare thing. So Brother Hagin closed the meeting. About a week later, this couple came and showed the child to the church after Brother Hagin left. This was their testimony. Well, we did just what Brother Hagin said. Really? I didn't say it, he said. It was the Holy Ghost. Amen. I didn't even know I was going to say it. It just came up out of my spirit. Every time we looked at those feet, we'd say, thank God the healing power of God was ministered Thursday night to our child's feet, and that power is working in those feet now to effect the healing and the cure. And we kept saying that morning and night, every time we thought of it, for days, 3 days, and after 3 days, they started to change. It wasn't instant, but over the next 3 or 4 days, just little by little, each day they changed until they're just as perfect as feet could be. Well, that's what he said. They shall recover. He said they shall recover. Amen. Now, the blind woman was healed instantly, but these kept the switch of faith on and they recovered. So if you get instant healing, just thank God for it and go with it. But if you don't turn the switch of faith off. Keep the switch of faith on. Keep saying the healing power of God's in my body and working mightily. Amen. Now, I'm going to share one more testimony just real quick. It's not going to be a long one. This is a story that Brother Hagin told once again in August the 10th, 1992, at Nanuet, New York. Talked about a little girl that had polio. And long story. Brother Hagin laid hands on this little girl. Had everybody reach their hands out and pray for the little girl. Had polio, little child. And the next day, the mother brought the child to the meeting and she was completely healed. This was her testimony. She said, we got in the car that her husband was back in the congregation. She came in line with the girl. So she said, I put her in the back seat because she was going to go asleep and just a little tiny thing. And by the time we got home, she's sound asleep. Well, I lifted her up out of the car and she's not any better. I got her into her night clothes and I put her in bed. Well, we had driven some distance to the service, so my husband and I had gotten up, got breakfast because, you know, he's got to go to work, you see. The little girl's used to sleeping in, so we just let her sleep because it's January, but she's not in school because she's crippled. She can't walk. And she said that I just let her sleep, and about 8 o'clock in the morning, then I thought, well, I better awaken her And so she's still asleep. And so I woke her up and picked her up in my arms and carried her, because I actually, you know, do it this way. I carried her into the bathroom. I'd already drawn up the water for the bath, because I had to bathe her, you see. You know, she can't. She can't get in, can't get out of the tub. She's crippled. So she said, I already had the water drawn, and I removed her night clothes, and I sat her over into the tub, and I had to pull on those little legs to pull them down, because they see they're all crooked, pulled them up under and put them down in the tub. And she said, there I am on my knees bathing her, and I began to cry. The tears ran out my eyes, and I fell down in the water, and, oh Lord, why didn't you heal my baby? It's only a little child. But it's her little baby, Brother Hagin said. Oh, Lord, I so wanted her healed. You see, the doctor said, you know, that there was going to be, because of all these things, one of these legs particularly sort out and kind of hung out, you know, dangled out in a real, you know, peculiar way. Well, they're going to pull it down, straighten it, fuse the hips. Well, once they fuse, well, then it's just like welding everything together. In other words, those bones, hips all stiffen up. She said, there I am, I'm crying. Thinking like that, something on the inside of me said, see, this is a born-again, spirit-filled woman. The Holy Ghost is in her. Now, the Holy Ghost is born again, is in born-again people, all right. But I'll tell you, you get into deeper dimensions when you get filled with the Spirit of God, baptized in the Holy Spirit. She said, something on the inside of me just spoke up. It wasn't her spirit. It was the Holy Ghost abiding in her. Do you believe that Brother Hagin is a man of God? Why, she says, certainly I believe that. Something on the inside of her said, do you believe that Brother Hagin, a prophet of God? Yeah, I believe that. Something on the inside of her said, do you believe that he sat there on the podium, on the platform, and held your child in his arms and told a lie? Said that the healing power of God went in her and it didn't? No, she said, I don't believe that. I don't believe that he lied. Well, something on the inside of me said, just like a voice speaking, well, if he didn't lie, then that power was ministered to your child last night. And she said, I dried up my tears. I said with joy, yeah, that's right. I said, I believe. She said, I said, I believe on my knees and by that tub, I believe that the healing power of God was ministered to my child's body last night. And I believe that power flowed out of Brother Hagin's hands into that body. And I believe it's affecting the healing and cure. And she said, when I said that, I heard something popping like dry sticks. You know, did you ever break a dry stick? Brother Hagin asked. I looked down in that tub, and right there before my eyes, both of those legs straightened out and grew the same size of a 9-year-old. Hundreds of people saw the child that night. Woo, glory to God. And Brother Hagin goes on a rant. Amen. Amen. I said all that to say this. Just how conscious are we really about the power of God that's released when we obey God's word? The thing that Tony said to me this morning, I've had this concern for quite a while. But when he said that when we pray for our nation, it affects the atmosphere from which we draw ideas from. I mean, we know God didn't tell us to pray for our nation for no reason at all. Just to go twinkle, twinkle, little star, and to kind of mark it off on your calendar that I prayed for our nation, glory to God, and have no consciousness that a power was released to our nation's president and their cabinet members and their senators. Come on, guys. And have no consciousness of that whatsoever. If we do have a consciousness of that, some of us sure aren't showing it in the way we talk about our country, the way we think about our country. Are y'all out there? How about praying for our pastor? You know as well as I do You're not praying for your pastor and criticizing him at the same time. We are not powerless. We have an availability to God's power in every verse, in every instruction, in every one of his promises. We've got availability to God's power. So my question to you is this. When's the last time you prayed for your spouse? How about your kids? Have you ever asked yourself the question, who's praying for your kids? Tad's not praying for my kids. I'm not praying for his kids. Have in the past about some things, but not on a regular basis. But if I don't pray for my kids, Jennifer's not going to be. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We got to go. Pastor Hagin's probably watching saying, he did it again. He went over again, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying today? Amen. I believe that there must be an increase in an awareness in our healing services that healing power is administered to those sick, not because of the atmosphere that that healing service took place in, but because of obedience. The releasement of God's power into that sick person's body. That little lamb that we prayed for today, healing power. Healing power was administered to that little lamb. Going to affect the healing and the cure in some probably some child. Are we really aware of that? As we dismiss, I'm going to turn the service over to Tad. I trust that we'll go to work tomorrow with a greater understanding. I'm going to obey these verses. I'm going to do what God says to do. I'm going to release God's power into this place. It's going to put, that consciousness is going to put a little bit of a guard on my thoughts about this place. A little bit of a guard upon my words about this place. A little bit of a guard when it comes to my actions about this place. Why? I'm more aware of the fact that God's power is being released into this place through my obedience to his word. And then we can make the confessions. This place is blessed. We can make the confessions. This place is favored. We can make the confessions. This place is going to progress. We can make the confessions. We're going to continue to be bring advantage and influence, increase. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't ever let yourself walk away from a healing line and just, well, I guess nothing happened. How many of you know he didn't tell us to lay hands on the sick for nothing? That's right. If something doesn't happen. But see, we get looking for one thing and we missed out the real thing. We're forgetting the healing power of God was administered. And it's working mightily. Amen. You start praying for your marriage. What do you got? Power of God's working mightily in my marriage. God's power. I'm obeying my verses. How many of you know, husbands, you stay off the women verses. Wives, you stay off the husband verses. You just obey your own verses. You'll get God's power active in your marriage. Amen? Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. Are you listening to me? Yep. What is the switch of faith? The belief that the power was administered and working mightily. Now, does that mean you don't go to doctors? Not at all. You go to your doctors. Like Brother Hagin used to say, you go to the doctors, and in essence, what you're saying is, you take care of it from the natural standpoint. I'm hitting it from the spiritual next standpoint. Pastor Hagin says, when the natural and the supernatural comes together, an explosive force for God. We keep doing everything we can do from the natural standpoint. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, we just thank you tonight for your goodness and for your mercy. Help us to be more conscious than ever before of your presence and your power within the Word of God. Father, I thank you that we'll be increased obedient, increased, Father, embracing of the instructions given to us in your Word. And Father, as we obey your Word, as we act upon your Word, we are not alone. We are not alone on the job. We are not alone in our marriages. We are not alone raising our children. We're going to act on God's word. God's power is with me. God's power is working mightily. God's power is influencing my family and my children, my job, my health, my mind. Obey the word of God. Your power is released within our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that I see this word not as just a letter of the law, but a source of your power. May I treasure it more than ever before. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.